Hello, everyone. You are listening to the Rethink Impact, the podcast. And I am your host, Ramisha Lee, from the Erasmus Mundus Journalism course. I am joined by Hans Jonker from the Vrije University, Brussels. So to kickstart, Hans, can you tell me something about your work?
I'd love to. Hi, I'm very happy to be here. My name is Hans Jonker. I'm from the Vrije University, Brussels, like you said. And I'm studying academics. I'm doing a PhD in sociology. I started in September. I worked as a researcher before, and I'm trying to see how academics try to translate their academic capital to public visibility and policy impact.
Mm-hmm. Where did you get the inspiration from for your research?
I started from looking at data. We were wandering in, I live in Flanders, northern region of Belgium. We took our five universities, we took all the active personnel, and we want to see which one of those got to newspapers and magazines, which one got to the media. And that's why initially that my curiosity started, because I saw that most people, only 7% made it to the media, only a few times on average, while some of them appeared loads of times, 100 times above average. So that's what made me very curious why that is.
All right. And Hans, can you tell me, what challenges did you come across? Because once a PhD candidate decides to embark on a journey, and as you know, your research is and could be a very arduous journey along the way. So what challenges did you come across, and how did you overcome them?
That's a very good question. One of the challenges I have is to frame it in an interesting way. So I started from data, and I can talk about data every day, but you have to frame it in such a way that it's interesting, and you have to pose the right kinds of questions. It's not necessarily about finding the right answers to me. It's more about posing the right kinds of questions that you could formulate an answer about. So that was definitely a challenge. And it's very much still an open project. So I'm trying to find still ways to find a common story or a common demeanor in all of it, because it's quite broad.
Interesting. But I really found that one point interesting about what you said before, how to frame it. Because when it comes to data, sometimes when it's very data-centric, the layout can be a bit challenging, because what matters is who is your audience. And I don't want to sound like your supervisor here or anyone who is just, you know, being a critic and asking, who are you writing this research for? Why are you writing it? But when it comes to, presenting it, or you know, the format, or how to lay it out, or how to make it easy to understand, then I want to know, who are you writing this research for?
Basically, I think I'm writing it for colleague scientists who are interested in the project, and I'm also trying to write for policymakers, because I work for ECOM, which is also a part of the Flemish government. So I think I'm trying to write for scientific audiences and also for policymakers. So I'm trying to find ways in they could be both interested in the same data.
All right. And any interesting results that you have come across so far?
What I found most interesting was the fact that a few celebrity scientists seem to be very present in Indian media. And I also found an interesting gender effect. So when you look at the, I looked at 2019, I looked at newspapers, magazines, and I took a look at who appears in those, in frequency wise, so to speak. And if you look above the averages, for example, you can see it's almost all men appearing. So that was very interesting to me.
All right. And we have seen this disparity over and over again. And was it one of the factors why you decided to, you know, go on with this research? And were you expecting along the way that you would find examples that will stand out and not be in congruence with the commonality and what you've seen so far? Like, for instance, if you are, you know, doing a research, you have a broad spectrum of knowledge. You are doing mm-hmm. several case studies. And along the way, you come across some examples which can shock you, which can inspire you.
Right,
so
sure.
Were there any? That's a long thought.
It's a long thought.
And that is precisely the answer.
I wouldn't speak of examples. I would speak more of in terms of patterns. And we actually had a very interesting panel on this one. I think the first day of the conference, this was someone from Portugal who did quite a similar thing. And she looked at it from a more feminist side of view, where in their view, she made the argument that the public sphere is dominated by men. And it points to structural patterns. And I think if the data can tell that story and you can frame it in such a way like this is what we see, and depending on your audience, you can also point to this problem, like we should take a look at this as a society and think about how these structural ways could be resolved, perhaps.
Okay. And to narrow it down more, which particular region is your research focusing on? Because I have another question related to that.
Like those appear in media, like in...
Regionally, like which country, which area?
I only looked at Flanders. So that's... I only looked at Flemish okay. researchers. So.
Okay, perfect, yeah. Perfect. So... what I want to say is that there are some societies where men dominate, a landscape. It is mostly because of the, the opportunities that are available to them. It is mostly because they're probably given more chances to come forward, more chances to study, more chances to work. And we can see this, happening in societies like, for instance, Pakistan or probably India as well. And I'm from Pakistan and I can tell you from that. Why do you think it's happening in the region that you are researching on? Did you come across any reasons? And were there any reasons that were very interesting to you, very shocking to you?
I think one of the things is that there's a Matthew effect going on. So those who remain unknown, and those who are known get even more known. That's probably one of the reasons why a man is very visible in media, they get more attention. So celebrity scientists have this talent of attracting attention to themselves. And I also saw it was mostly professors that did this. So there's also a status power thing going on there, I think, which I also found very interesting. Now, there's a very logical explanation for this because professors, they just have more experience to go on, right? But I found it interesting that I didn't see that many female professors appearing in media. And I don't know why yet, so I'm going to look deeper into that. But this also points to another problem in academia of the leaky pipeline, that the higher you go in the ranks of academia, the less women you find, which is probably one of the reasons why they're represented less in science communication, I think.
And have you been able to find the reason to that? Because it is really interesting. And if you have, so please share it with us. But if you haven't, are you going to work on it?
I'm going to work on that. But the why question is very complex. And there's very different... It's hard to measure, I think.
Absolutely. And do you think in any way there is a trust deficit? Because when you talk about a professor, let's say we, divide them into two categories, male professor and female professor. Do you think that a lot of female professors do not make it to the profession when it comes to, media, when it comes to academia, because they might be, unsure that their work will be trusted or not? Have you come across this problem?
Not that literally, but I think there's gender expectations happening there. You can also see that when there's discredit of, for example, men often get attacked based on their reputation, while women often get attacked in media based on them being a woman and their personality. And one of the reasons, it's a courageous. I think it's also there's also fear associated with it, like you're making yourself vulnerable, and probably have to edit that.
Okay.
Sorry.
All right. Yeah. As someone who comes from the broadcast media industry, mm-hmm. and I've worked for quite some time in Pakistan, I see that women are in demand. People want women to appear on their screens, and women do bring, color. Women do bring color in a sense. They bring vibrancy. They bring, dynamics. To the screen, and they add, and they do a lot of value addition. And I've seen a lot of male broadcasters, broadcast journalists, complaining that women do get more chances to appear on screen. Women do get more chances to work more in the practical, media landscape. So, do you think, in any way, women being women? And mostly because of appearance, is that the reason why they're getting more chances there? And in academia, since it is not more practical, it is more theoretical, and then mm-hmm. it comes to trusting your intelligence, and comes to trusting your knowledge, then, men are giving more chances and they're trusted more. What do you think about this?
That's an interesting thought. It's hard to validate, I would say. But it's an interesting thought. Yes, I'm going to think about that.
Oh,
thank
wonderful!
You very much. Yes,
wonderful. So,
The thing you have to remember is, like, mainstream media, it goes very fast. Like, if a journalist calls you, like a researcher, they're not going to ask you to, talk about your research for 2 minutes. They say something like, what's your opinion on this controversial topic? So I think there's also an availability heuristic going on, that journalists tend to contact people that are already know that they have their contacts in their phone, and they just call him. And I think they often call the same persons.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all these little structural things. And I'm not sure, because the way I understand it is, you want to look at it more from a personal side of view. I find it easier to look at the structures and the patterns.
Perfect. You know what the sound was? What that sound was in your background? That was the coffee trolley.
Oh,
and,
my God.
Yes.
Even more coffee. I love it.
And we've asked some really serious questions which require a lot of pondering and which require a lot of, thinking.
Lots of coffee, too.
Absolutely. And lots of coffee as well. So thank you so much, Hans, for
You're
joining
welcome.
Us and telling us about your research.
Great. Thanks very much.